Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, the second hour. It is 106. I am Kristen Bry, your host, and I am joined today by Nada Amlikashvili, who's my guest host, and she is the chief of staff for Representative Francesca Hong up at the Capitol and a columnist at the Isthmus. How's the Isthmus doing these days? I know that they took a little bit of a break and then they've been revived, which I think everyone was very happy about because the independent reporting they do is
It's phenomenal.
It's very good.
They're stronger than ever. They're back monthly in print. And it is one of the best part of, you know, every month is going and picking one up. And I didn't really realize how, you know, lovely the art and the storytelling was until I think after the pandemic, where you're like, wow, when we didn't have this for a while, you just really learned to appreciate it more. So they, one of the best, I think, editorial staff, shout out to Judy, ever. Yeah, shout out to Dylan as well. They're just amazing people. Yeah.
Dylan's on my list of people that I have not met, but I know through the social medias. And I was like, he might be a good person to bring on here at some point. So if you hook me up with an intro, maybe I can meet
him. Oh, absolutely. I'll text him.
Perfect. All right. Well, I wanted to kind of continue similar themes of what we've been talking about, but I listened to a podcast over the weekend on my drive back from up north, whatever, how people say it, that was, it's called the Focus Group, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's taking, there's the host does a bunch of different focus groups, like hundreds of them, and then based on those conversations, the podcast episode is her and or one of their guests talking about what came up in those groups. And the one that I listened to on the week drive home was what's going on in this political climate with Gen Z. So specifically under 30, which I think that's like the younger millennials are still at the top end of their 20s right now. But you are an elder Gen Z.
I think I'm still Gen Z because I'm 96, which is a cutoff where the young people expel you when you're not cool enough. And then the older people also expel you on the other side when you're also not cool enough. It's a very, very tortured lived experience.
Do you identify as like Gen Z? Is that where you feel like when they talk about the group as a group, do you like, yeah, I more identify with those stereotypes than millennials?
Yeah, Tide Pods. I didn't eat one, but I identify with the core demographic. It's like a cultural thing, I feel. It's a cultural thing. I have a lot more in common, I think, with Gen Z than, you know. But I think TikTok has really exacerbated that during the pandemic. I think it's been like a cultural awakening where I didn't really conceptualize that I was in a certain demographic until it was like right in front of me every day, and I'm like, I don't identify with millennials, is it? in some respects.
And so it was interesting hearing what they gathered. Granted, it's a focus group, it's not a poll, there's, you know, it's anecdotal conversations, but they largely said, and I don't know if this is different because I think there's probably a lot of people in many different age groups that feel this way, but how disaffected Gen Z is with both parties. And that even for the ones who are more left, that they don't really love Democrats, but they're just not Republicans. And but what also was interesting, but even people who are more like Gen Z that's more conservative and Republicans, unless they were hardcore MAGA, also were a little unenthused with kind of like the two-party system and the options that are available. Now, is that, does that resonate with you?
Absolutely. I think a lot of my campaign in early years, and certainly still now, has been this really huge internal kind of dilemma with what it means to be a Democrat. Where growing up, the Democrats were an establishment just like the Republicans that sometimes let me down just as much. And so I think a lot of Gen Z, and I'll speak to the Gen Z I know in the racial justice movements, the climate justice movements, are, you know, validly disenchanted by the Democratic Party. Because again, there is a lack of flexibility when it comes to the issues that really matter to us. And I think when it comes to climate justice, decarbonization by 2030, you know, Medicare for all these concepts are called radical. You know, we're seen as people that don't understand the true workings of democracy or government, when in fact maybe we don't have that experience and that expertise in how things work, but we also have the hope for a better future for ourselves and for the people around us. And so I think a big difference in maybe that idea that we deserve better and that we can have better if we just think about it, I think it comes from the difference in what we're exposed to as Generation Z versus millennials, elder millennials, you know, whatever the other ones are called. I think social media has truly kind of connected us to each other and to each other's stories in a way that has never happened before on the history of the planet, where, you know, if you just study if I go back to school, studying TikTok alone, the phenomenon of being able to scroll through a video and see, you know, how someone in Africa lives. You know, I was on there once and I saw, you know, someone in an African village that looked just like my own. You know, a Somali song went viral all over the world and people were using it. And so, like, to see that part of my identity that I had never, ever seen in America be so accessible to so many people here that probably would have never interacted with it before, I genuinely think that connection, human connection, is how we fight all these issues that we have around us. How we kind of, you know, when we draw on that humanity, we do solve all the differences, I think, that we have in policy, but not many of us are willing to go to the door and talk. And so I think what Gen Z has is this unique ability to empathize with stories that other people have not been exposed to at such an early age. I think they also are just a lot more hopeful about what can happen because they're young. And I think as you grow older, you get more jaded, but it certainly comes through when it comes to how dissatisfied they are with the current, you know, state of politics, of the current state of democratic politics. But I think drawing on their passion, drawing on their hope, is what we need to do as a party to really drive ourselves forward.
Again, knowing this is anecdotal and the experience of your life and the people you know and your friends, is the frustration with the parties or the options in the parties, is that more on the side of activating more people to improve it or creating more apathy of, I'm so frustrated that it doesn't matter? And so, I mean, this goes back to what we were saying at the very beginning of the show when we were talking about the debate and how most of the people who were at the debate in person last night were there with their candidate versus people who were going just out of interest. And so how much does the under 30 crowd feel like they have a role to play in making things better over the issues that they are frustrated with versus being like, well, it doesn't matter what I do?
Well, I think...
Speak for the entire generation.
Let me speak for every 26 and under person. I think for me, I think the answer isn't how many of us are this way or that way. It's how many times do we go through the cycle of being like, you know, this is really terrible and nothing can fix it because the system is so effed up, versus this is really terrible, the system is so effed up, which is why I need to fight it as much as I can. And so for me personally, I go through that cycle, it seems like 20 times a day sometimes in the Wisconsin legislature during certain time periods during session. And other times I think it's like, go, go, go. I really do have a voice. Other people around me are carrying me forward as well with their, you know, their hope. So it's difficult to say that it's either or. I think it's all of it. But I think a lot of people, you know, have decided to maybe work outside the system, when a lot of people do need to also realize that the tools that we have right now, so voting, are incredibly important in order to stop more evil. It might not fix everything, but it also means that, you know, Rebecca Clefish is the governor of Wisconsin, and then we're truly screwed. So there's apathy in places where I think it's important in order to really keep us vigilant when it comes to how terrible society can be sometimes. But I think that apathy when it comes to voting and election time should be used to getting more people out to vote, because the alternative is much worse than what we have now for a lot of different people. So it's a complex, I think, question and a complex answer.
Are there any young, like, is Next Gen still a thing? So that was the organization.
Yeah.
So they're still around.
Yeah.
What do you think are the effective pro-democracy young groups that are doing work this election cycle?
Well, I think Next Gen is one. I think maybe less so organizations. I mean, Next Gen is funded by Tom Steyer, who's a billionaire, and we can discuss his whole thing. Oh my God, I have such a story about him. We can discuss his whole thing on a separate note, but I think movements are how young people get involved in other orgs. So like people that, you know, went to a Friday protest for climate justice have found ways to get engaged with either a party or, you know, Next Gen to be able to go out. So I can't name, you know, other organizations, but I think racial justice movements, the Black Lives Matter movement, the climate justice movement have really worked in getting young people out and involved in terms of, you know, voter engagement, education, and advocacy.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of billionaires, Tom Steyer, I don't even know, what's Tom Steyer doing these days? But in reality, I wanted to we can shift a little off of politics, or at least Wisconsin politics, when we come back for the break. Because there was a protest in occupying the Hamptons. And protesting billionaires for the fact that they're billionaires. Is it effective or is it just fun? Don't know. We'll talk about it when we come back. This is Ask Us Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.